That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening to this. Welcome back to another episode of the Elm Park Rules Preview Podcast, supported, of course, by our lovely friends over at Phantom Brewing Co. Now, we have got an absolutely pulsating game for the ages. It's going to go down in history. It is Reading versus Watford in the FA Cup. It's an all championship tie. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not sure really many people are up for it, but you have got two people who are very up for it on the podcast today. We're doing this preview a little bit differently because, again, it's Watford in the cup. We're not previewing it with a Watford fan, but we have got someone much better, much more accomplished than any Watford fan. We have, of course, got James the Scoop, as Jacob would say, Earnshaw. How are you doing, James?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. I'm trying to get myself as much as possible up for tomorrow because is it all championship, it's a 12:30 kickoff. And a 12:30 on a Saturday is better than on a Sunday. But it's just not 3 p.m.s. It ruins your morning. You've not got chance to have lunch at your normal. I'm not one for lunchtime kickoffs.
No, especially me. I've got to be at the ground for 10. So basically roll out of bed and straight to the Medeski. But no, at least we're sort of out of it by 3 o'clock. Obviously a bit earlier for you guys that can leave straight away, but no, it gives you the whole afternoon then to do what you want, celebrate a cup win.
Fingers crossed. Well, actually, maybe not fingers crossed, because I'm not sure many people are really in agreement with what, like, the FA Cup and any cup competition at the moment, it falls into this category of, do you want to go for it? Do you want to stay looking at the league? And it's a weird time, really, with the cup competitions. It always comes up whenever the cups, you know, cup games come around. But what we're going to start with, team news, or not team news, but news from the press conference. There was a rather potentially big piece of news, maybe unexpected. It's been touted for quite a few weeks, but Paul Ince obviously mentioned at his press conference that the long-awaited return of Liam Moore will probably be happening this Saturday. Mm. James, kind of from your position, what are kind of your thoughts around it's an odd one with Liam Moore. He splits opinion. He will almost definitely be here, obviously, until the summer anyway. But it looks like, first things first, that he's recovered from what seemingly was a horrendous injury. We've not got too many details on what the injury was. I think it was some sort of knee injury that he suffered, but I am quite happy to at least see him back and fit, because you never, no matter what your thoughts are on him as a person, as a football player, you never want to see a player's career ended by injury like his has nearly turned out to be.
Well, yeah, you can't argue with that. You know, you've got to take away you know, the rumours and, you know, whatever has happened has happened. You know, he's a man ultimately, and he almost saw his livelihood go down the drain at the age of 29. You know, he still should, in theory, have another good 6 or 7 years. So it's great to see him working so hard to come back. And, you know, he's done a really good job. I mean, we've heard nothing but good things since Paul Lynch has come in about the dedication and the effort that Liam Moore's putting in. It's a clean slate, a new manager. You know, none of us really know what went on sort of under the cloud last time. So, you know, fresh start. Why not? Let's just, you know, he's being paid by the club. Let's just get him out there and see what he can do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like say, you've got him until the end of the season. Mm. You might as well. Well, certainly, I know it's going to split opinions across the fan base, and I hope the reaction isn't too negative, because I think that can only breed more negativity. But ultimately, if Liam Moore plays well, you know, you're probably going to have a defence that's, you know, pretty resolute, keeping out goals, and, you know, it can only really help us towards the end of the season on that front. It will be, that being said, it will be interesting to see the reaction in the ground, but fingers crossed it will be a positive one, obviously for Liam Moore. The other thing that was broken, obviously, it doesn't really matter to Reading in this transfer window seemingly, because we're not going to actually be able to do much. Mm. But the transfer window has indeed opened, and Andy Carroll and Mbengue are obviously both out of contract in, I think it's a matter of days now. I don't even know when they're
contracted. Andy Carroll's last game would be next week against QPR.
Okay, so he would weeks. Be next week, and then Mbengue,
he's a little bit longer, I think, but still, yeah. not as far as Sheffield United, I wouldn't think. So maybe Stoke.
Sounds positive though on the contract front.
Yeah. So he's expecting them both to sign on to the end of the season within the next 4 or 5 days, which I think is obviously a great move. Carroll, I don't know whether you'd necessarily want him anything sort of beyond the end of the season anyway, depending on how the next 3 or 4 months go. And Mbengue, you know, there's a lot of potential there. He's he will be a saleable asset at some point. So I'm hoping, you know, you'd hope there's sort of further down the line opportunities to extend that beyond the end of the season. But, you know, let's just put one foot in front of the other for now, and fingers crossed, still going well, they should be here till May.
Is that probably what both deals will be, do you think? Just extensions to the end of the season, or do you think Mbengue might get a longer deal, potentially an extra year or something on the end of it, or an option of a year?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, it's to the end of the season. It didn't specify on yesterday. However, you know, from murmurings I've heard, it's to the end of the season. And I guess then Reading can reassess. You know, we can't guarantee we're going to be in the Championship yet. So you can't really go around throwing long contracts around. So I guess then no doubt there'll be some kind of gentleman agreement where, should Reading stay up, the offer's on the table. Or, you know, if we stay up, we might not feel that they're the right kind of fit, and we might say thank you very much. But I think the end of the season is a good time to sort of evaluate where Reading are, because, you know, where we are at the end of this season is sort of a turning point. You know, things could be looking up and the embargo could come off and we could begin to sort of plan for the future. Or if things go horribly wrong in the next 3 or 4 months, you could be staring down League One, and, you know, it gets even worse than it has been the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, it's a key kind of almost milestone, I think, the end of this season. I think Alex put it out on Twitter earlier today. You know, when you think a year ago this weekend was the beginning of pretty much our darkest week or month, however long you want to put that timescale on, but it all started really with, well, Kidderminster was obviously the tipping point. Mm. Some may say it started at Derby, you know, the week prior, just
then. You had Fulham the week after with the 7-0.
Yeah.
Well, you had 8 defeats on the bounce, didn't you? So the whole of January. I mean, Paolo did say that January would be a write-off, so he wasn't wrong. But there are ways of having write-offs.
It's crazy though. I mean, we recapped it a bit on the end of year kind of podcast, just the transformation really in the past year. But I mean, it is a bit hard to believe kind of that was nearly a year ago now.
Wasn't even in the role I'm doing now. I was a normal fan in those away ends at Kidderminster and Fulham and God knows what else, watching QPR 4-0. It's been a hectic, mad year, but hopefully this year's an improvement.
And now you're locked up in the rafters, just reporting on it. it's a mad year. The only other real transfer bit of news, or it's not really transfer news that was in relation to Reading FC, but it's probably one to note. Mr. Josh Lauren, I think, has been not put up for sale, but Stoke are listening to bids, I think, or options for him, which I think is an interesting one. I mean, you know, I don't think Reading was ever going to match what Stoke actually offered him at the time. You know, he went, you know, probably as most people would, you know, on the longer contract and, you know, substantially more money, but not quite worked out for Lawrence so far.
No, it's a shame. You know, it's obviously a rumour. You know, no one's been able to sort of back that up. And it would be a surprise considering he's only been there half a year now. But, you know, he's a cracking player on his day. And, you know, no one likes it when someone chooses to leave your club. But, you know, you'd have him back in a heartbeat with what he'd provide in that midfield.
No, absolutely. And I think it just goes to show how quickly football can turn. I think he went there under O'Neill, didn't he? And then O'Neill was gone after 4 weeks. So it's a brutal business, football, sometimes.
Yeah. And then obviously it's Alex Neil, no doubt, want to bring in his own players. And, you know, Stoke are never backwards in coming forwards when it comes to bringing in players, or whether it's a free or a loan or paying money. There's always three or four in the door and three or four out. I think Nick Powell was another one that was on that rumour for going, and he'd be a cracking pickup for anyone in the Championship. But, you know, Stoker should be pushing for playoffs, and the last 3 or 4 years they haven't been, so it's no surprise that there's a few sort of key players that they feel they could chip out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Of course, there is a game on tomorrow, though. We touched on it at the start, Watford at home. We're going to touch back a bit on the FA Cup. We put out a tweet earlier today as well, just what your thoughts are around the FA Cup. Should you rotate? Do you want to, you know, go for the FA Cup? Do you want to focus on the league? Because it's going to be a very injury-struck Watford team. And it's probably a game that neither team really is going to care about that much. Because, James, I mean, you mentioned it before we started recording. Watford have got, I think it's 15 injuries. They put out quite an incredible communique to their fans, pretty much listing every single one of their players out. And I mean, Reading are no strangers to injury crises, but it just seems to be happening more and more at clubs at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because, you know, everyone seems to think that, you know, Reading is the worst, and it's happening only at Reading, and there's some problem with Reading, but it's obviously not. It's a football-wide issue, a Championship-wide issue, and thankfully I don't think we've ever had 16 out at the same time. I mean, we wouldn't be able to field a team if we had 16 missing all at the same time. But, I mean, just going through like the quality of the players that are missing, I mean, João Pedro, Keenan Davis, Hamza Chowdhury, like Tom Cleverley. No, there'll be no Tom Dellibashiru return to the SCL as he's injured. You know, it's a good thing about Watford, though, for them is that they can go out and be active in the window and replace some of these players, which obviously Reading weren't in the, you know, didn't have the opportunity to do. But, you know, only sort of increases Reading's chances of winning the tie, or being typical Reading and somehow managed to lose to a team made of 12-year-olds.
Well, it's an interesting one, the tie, because I think, again, the cup competition splits fans in kind of whether you want to go for it or not. And it was kind of a mixed bag to the reaction that we put out. I mean, we had a response from Christopher, you know, might as well go for it. Doesn't look like we'll make playoffs or get relegated. We had Matty Lovegrove come back. Priority has to be the league. Give players that are usually on the bench, fringe players, a chance. I mean, James, two kind of different angles there on what should be done, kind of in like what would, if you were in Paul Ince's shoes right now, we'll say, if you were Paul Ince, the mighty man that is, what would you be doing?
I'd go for a half and half team. So I think I'd rest some of the sort of key men that have played sort of every minute, which I know has been a lot of them, but you'd rest Ince. You'd rest, the midfielders need a rest because it's always the same, Hendrick and Loom being wheeled out. You need to bring in a bit more in the midfield. The good thing about the strikers is we've got two that we can rotate. So I think I'd start Long and Zhao, as they didn't start the last couple of games. If obviously Bouzanis will be in goal anyway. You know, so the good thing is we have options, and the options on the bench are decent enough options to beat a under-23 Watford team. You know, and our academy is still ticking away doing good bits and bobs. I mean, Kian Levy's really impressed me in recent weeks, and the 23s, I think, has really stepped up. No reason to not give him a shout. You've got the likes of Kelvin, who seems to have dropped off the face of the earth. Kelvin Abitchaman, bring him on the bench. Kelvin Abreffa's always looks good enough to make the game for a cup game. there's enough in there to be able to make changes but still make it competitive, which I think we need.
And like I say, it's a bit of a nice change from kind of the situation that we have been in the past, be it because we've not got the players either in the club or because of injuries, you know. But there is that lingering kind of thought of where we are in the league. I mean, Alex alluded to it in his response to our tweet, not comfortable with where we are in the league until we've got 50 points, especially with how unpredictable the championship can be. He'd give youngsters, second team players a chance to show what they can do. And I think it's probably going to be what it's going to be for both teams, I think, tomorrow. Like you said, James, with the injuries that Watford have, you'll almost definitely, I think, see Zhao and Long starting up top. But then behind that, I think I've seen hundreds of different, maybe not hundreds, but tens of different combinations. And, you know, I mean, some has had about seven defenders in with three attackers. Some, it's, you know, you could probably pick out some names, you know.
Yeah. I think Ince alluded to the fact that Dan Moore and Hutchinson will all get minutes. So that's three more defensive players, although you could play Hutchinson
going to be
midfield.
Back for the weekend.
Yeah, I think he's going to try and give him some minutes. That's probably good. Not the 90, but probably 45 or whatever. Yeah. Whether you play him in midfield or whether you bring him back into the three alongside Dan and Moore, if you start Moore, or whether you bring him off the bench. You know, so this is the thing with Paul Ince now, is he's actually got options. You know, he hasn't got to go for a five. If he feels that the players that he has at his disposal are better suited to playing a four, he can play a four.
Well, he's always wanted to change back to this four. Well, he's always spoken about his desire to go back to a 4-3-3 system, which I don't know if that's what he played at Milton Keynes or
played
Blackburn
at all his clubs,
or...
apparently.
He has. Okay. Yeah, well, no, because that'd be an interesting one to see if he switches back to it. Because, I mean, last year it was very much a 4-2-3-1 because that was the players that he's had at the club. Now it's a, you know, a
5-2-1-2.
Yeah, whatever combination you want. It seems to mix about in the middle, doesn't it? From a 5 at the back to a 3 at the back and 3 in midfield, 2 up top to sometimes 4 in midfield, 1 up top. But kind of... it'll be interesting to see kind of how he structures it. Maybe that will show what he might want to do going forwards. But I mean, it's going to be such a mixed bag, you know, the game at the weekend. And hopefully it will be a positive result. But in all honesty, if it's a loss, again, I don't want to talk it down, but will we probably be too fussed about it? Not really. I think the one thing that might make it interesting, Watford, it seems like, are going to be bringing a full contingent. I think they've nearly sold out, if not fully sold out, the full South Stand. I think so. We'll have 4,000 fans again in the South Stand, which we've not had for quite some years. I think last time it must have been about 2017, 2018, the last time that happened. Certainly pre-club 1871, but that'll be interesting to see how that goes down. There might end up being more away fans than home fans, I think, at this rate, because I've not bought my ticket yet. You don't have the problem of buying a ticket for the game, James, but yeah, it's certainly an interesting one.
Well, I must admit, it does seem a tad steep. I think 15 quid for a reserve. Obviously the club would have worked out what they need, and you know, it's fair dues. They've got to do what they got to do, but I don't think they can then complain that no one's coming to watch your reserve team match. You know, it's usually the kind of games that's a fiver or a tenner and unreserved. You turn up on the day and you just sit where you want and watch the game. So I don't think it will, you know, the crowd could probably be better. But again, 12:30 isn't going to help, because no one, if you're playing football, if your kids are playing football at 10 o'clock over at Solly Joel or whatever, you're not going to get across for 12:30. So
no,
it's not helping.
It's not helping. It's not on TV either, is it?
Not in this country.
I don't know
why.
Oh, is it?
It has been moved
TV?
For international broadcast, is the reason they gave.
Oh. What a belter to put on international. Imagine putting Reading v Watford on international TV. Whoever did that, surely there must have been a better lower league clash to put on at 12:30 on an internet. I couldn't think of a game I'd probably fall asleep more in than Reading Watford. And that's
this country hasn't even put on any non-league teams. I mean, it's third round of the cup and none of the non-league teams are on TV.
It always happens. It was like Kidderminster last year, wasn't it? You know, you had a second tier team against a sixth tier team, and it wasn't even, you know, covered.
It was good for us because it meant it was a 3 o'clock kickoff, and it didn't interrupt our days out. But the TV
it was Yeah, and it meant that we weren't humiliated on national television as well as just, you know...
Well, not until the highlights show.
Not until the highlights, 10. but yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, I know BBC and that want to break in the audiences, but yeah, pick some better ties. Yeah. Maybe
Man United
reinvigorate
tonight.
Oh, it's just not what we want to see. Everyone watches that at the weekend. You know, that's probably part of the reason why, you know, you've lost a bit of the specialness of the cup.
I want to watch Coventry Wrexham. That'd be a cracking time. With what, 5,000 Wrexham fans? Coventry will probably have a few. Top of the league, well, doing well in non-league. Obviously a bit of a fanfare about them anyway. That's the kind of tie that should be on BBC at 7 o'clock on a Friday. Personally.
Absolutely, yeah. Under the lights, you know, you have a good game like that. Potential, you know. Magic of the Cup. Not quite a giant killing, but I mean, very big upset on the cards, you know, but just get it together on the TV front. But we have rambled on a bit now about the FA Cup and the implications of TV and what have you. So we are going to wrap it up there. Hopefully, if you do go to the game tomorrow, hopefully, obviously, you'll be going seeing a win. I think one of our listeners, Andrew, is going to that game. I think the last game he went to was a 2-1 away win at Sheffield United. So if we could have a repeat of that, I'm sure he would be very happy. And I'm sure every other Reading fan would be very happy. So, but hopefully you guys have enjoyed the podcast. We'll, of course, be back for a roundup of the Watford game. Probably Saturday evening for that. And so, yeah, we will catch you all then. Thanks very much for listening.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.